This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And today we are continuing a conversation that we began last week called Payout. If you weren't here with us, I highly encourage you to go back and online or on the app to listen to last week's conversation because it is fundamental to a lot of what we're going to be going through as we move through the next few weeks. Because last week we talked about this reality that while many of us think we understand what God is teaching, when he says you reap what you sow, in other words, you harvest what it is that you plant, we talked to you last week, this reality that we think we understand it, but we don't. And for many of us, we think, okay, if I plant this, I'm going to harvest this. But God steps into our lives, and we've been looking at this passage in Galatians chapter 6. Let me just take you there, because this is kind of our fundamental passage for this entire series. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, it says this: "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." So he introduced us to this idea that there may be seasons, but there will always be a harvest. And so he talks about decisions, and God talks about decisions in our lives in the way that you would think about a seed. And so he says, I want for you to think about decisions in life like seeds, and you're planting these seeds. And there may be a season before you experience the harvest, but there will be a harvest. He says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. And I love how in that story you hear him talking about that. He says, listen, I began to make some decisions and all of a sudden I woke up, and I love how he phrased it. He said, I didn't even recognize myself anymore. He was experiencing this harvest as a result of the decisions that he'd made. And God says, listen, pay attention to decisions and understand they're like seeds. There will be a harvest. He says, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. This passage is an encouragement passage. He's saying, listen, no, it works both negatively and positively. He says, so don't give up. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. And last week we looked at this reality that God says, you need to think about decisions in terms of seeds and that you're planting these seeds. But then Jesus changes the way that we think about that. Or maybe he just informs us on the reality of that, because he says, when we're talking about seeds, understand this, seeds don't return one for one. And so if you plant this, you don't get this back. You get this. And last week we began to talk through this idea of payout, that decisions don't return one for one. They have this unbelievable ability to multiply in our life. And God says that can lead you to life, or that can lead you to death. That can result in really beautiful things in your life, or that can result in really destructive things in your life. And so we began this process, and I'm going to call you to this over and over again as we move through this series. We began to consider the payout. And my goal as we move through this series is that you will get to the end of the 6 weeks, and whenever you're considering a decision, whether it's big, medium, that idea of payout will just be in the back of your mind. And if you remember, payout is an acronym. So it stands for the principle of actual yield over an undetermined amount of time. You don't know how long a decision is going to produce fruit in your life. You don't know how long it's going to be part of your life. It's an undetermined amount of time. And the actual yield is not one-to-one. The actual yield is far more significant than that. And so as I'm going into this decision, I have to consider the payout, the actual yield over an undetermined amount of time. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, consider the payout. I'm going to ask you to do that every week. Consider the payout. I want you to get comfortable with that because I want you to be in dinner group, and I want you, and when someone brings up a decision that they're working through or struggling with, I want for you to say, consider the payout. I want it to be part of the ongoing language of our family, the vocabulary of our family. We understand what the payout is. And so last week we introduced this idea, and then what I want to do for the next few weeks is I want to, now that our understanding of you reap what you sow has changed, I want to look at other places where God calls us to make wise decisions, and specifically areas where, as he's calling us to make those decisions, he's talking to us about the payout. And see if this change in our understanding of you reap what you sow, see if that doesn't begin to change the way that we look at these other areas or arenas where God has said, hey, pay attention right here. Pay attention. This is really, really, really significant. This decision is really significant. Because I think, well, as we said last week, I think when you realize it, when you see it for what it is, it changes our motivation and our understanding in those decisions. So today I want to take you to one. It's found in Proverbs. And it speaks to this area or arena of influence. Now I spoke about this we just touched on it last week because as I was pouring out the corn, and if you weren't here last week, we didn't situate this nicely around the stage. I poured it out into a giant pile and it was way dustier than I expected it to be. And as I was pouring it out, I told you the staff really wanted me to keep it on stage, but it was impossible. It kept spilling over. And we talked about this reality that the harvest, well, it doesn't just show up in your life, but it spills over into the lives of those around you, for good or for bad. And this is something that God's been calling our attention to for a very long time. So I want to take you to the book of Proverbs. And throughout Proverbs, it talks about who it is that has influence in our lives a lot. But I want to take you to one of the most significant passages, I think, and one of the passages where he not only calls us to be careful about it, but he talks to us about the outcome or the payout in our lives. So let me take you there. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says this. It says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So God steps into our life and says, listen, you need to be really careful with those who influence you, who have influence in your lives. Why? Because he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. What I love about both of these statements is that God doesn't say he who walks with the wise might get wise. He doesn't say, he who walks with the wise has a chance of becoming wise. He's saying, no, this is something that you can count on. If you walk with the wise, you will grow wise, which is incredible news. That's incredible news. Because some of you, if you're honest, but you have hope. You have hope. And even for myself in those moments where, man, why can't I'm little disappointed in that decision. I have hope. And he says, this is possible. Now, it's funny. Whenever I come to this passage, I always think about all the other things in life where I wish God said this. Like, I wish God said, he who walks with the rich grows rich. You can count on it. I wish that would be a nice one, you know? But interestingly enough, if you're not wealthy and you walk with the wealthy, you typically become less wealthy because you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. But the other one is, I've always wanted this to be true, that he who walks with the funny will grow funny. This is why for 13 years, I've been hanging out with Anthony as much as possible, just hoping that one day, it is not happened, there's not a lot of hope there, but there is hope when it comes to wisdom. And he says, no, pay attention to this. He who walks with the wise will grow wise. And he's not just calling us to make a decision about influence. He's saying, pay attention to the payout. There's a result that's going to show up in your life as a result of this decision. And he talks about it from a positive perspective, but he also talks about it from
a negative perspective. He says, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Again, not might suffer harm, not could. You should be careful. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you should count on it. You should count on it. The same way that when you plant that seed, you should count on something growing. The same way that when you plant that seed, you should count not on getting this back, but on getting this back. You should count on it. A companion of fools suffers harm. It's not that it might overflow into your life. It will overflow into your life. So here's what I want you to do. Go ahead and pull out your phone. Go ahead. Pull it out. I know you have it with you. You don't go anywhere without it. So go ahead and pull out your phones. I know some of you are still uncomfortable with pulling out your phone in church. It's okay. And here's what I know about you. If you take notes on your phone, they'll stay with you. Now, some of you take notes on paper and you're really good at keeping them with you. Most of us are not. But if you take those notes on your phone, you'll have something to reference back to. And you may not know that we make this available to you, but if you open our app, there's actually a specific area for Sunday notes. So if you open our app and click Sunday on the homepage, you can click Sunday notes, and that will give you the passages that we're going to walk through today, and it gives you the ability to take notes on each of those passages, and it gives you the ability to email them to yourself after you're done, or to be able to save them inside the app. So it's an excellent way for you to be able to have that as a resource to reference back in the future. So go ahead and pull out your phone, because I want for you to do a couple of different things today, and I want for today to be really practical, and I want for us to walk out of today with several action steps. Why? Because if Sunday doesn't impact Monday, we're wasting our time, and you should have slept in. It would have been better for you. It has to impact the way that we live life. And so I want for us to actually identify, okay, how do we practice what it is that we're learning? So the first thing that I want for you to do as you pull out those notes is I want for you to ask yourself this question, because when we're confronted with this passage, it forces us to ask this question. Who are my companions? Who are my companions? And pay attention to this word companion, because he doesn't say if you know a fool, you're going to suffer harm. This isn't that you should never have any type of contact or relationship with a fool. That's impossible. You have siblings, okay? But he's saying they shouldn't be the people who are closest to you. Who are your companions? And we're supposed to love and care for all the people around us, our neighbors, our coworkers. We're supposed to go out of our way to help them find their way back to God. God's called us to that in everyone's life. But we need to be careful with our companions. Who are the people who are closest to us? Who are the people who are speaking into our lives? Who are the people who are speaking into the decisions that we make? Now, sometimes I'll have conversations with people about this, and I'll say, who are your companions? And they'll list out the people who are their companions, and I say, who do you spend the most time with in your life? And it's a different list. That's not being honest with yourself. That's not being honest with yourself. If you're spending the majority of your time with one group of people, they do have influence on your decisions, whether you like it or not. They're speaking into your life. They're influencing your life. And so be honest with yourself. Who are your companions? Who is it that you spend the most time with? And then you have to ask yourself this question. Are they wise or are they fools? Well, you say, well, how do you define that? Well, let's start with defining a fool. We say this over and over again here at Hope and Grace. I think Proverbs teaches it very clearly. A fool is someone who makes decisions in a moment based on the moment. A fool is someone who thinks they can make a decision in a moment based on a moment, and it won't impact the rest of their life. So they're not looking for the payout. They're just looking at, what do I want in this moment? They don't care about the payout. And they think, I can make a decision over here, and it's compartmentalized, and it won't impact every other aspect of my life. That's foolish. That's a fool's game. That doesn't work. This is one of the reasons, and this is totally aside, but this is one of the reasons why I hate it when people are talking about politicians or leaders and they're like, oh, that's just in their personal life. You're right. You can compartmentalize foolishness and a lack of character into your personal life. Don't worry about it impacting your professional life. That's the definition of what it looks like to be a fool. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to make decisions that way. So that's the definition of a fool. So when you look at your list, when you look at your companions, are they wise or are they foolish? Give you a couple things to look for. If you have a lot of people in your life, or you frequently hear in your life, hey, you should trust your heart. Just trust your heart. If you hear that a lot, you might be surrounded by fools. I've never seen a phrase used more to justify making a decision in a moment, based on the moment, without considering the future, than just trust your heart. Typically, that means just go with what you feel right now. Don't even think about how it's going to impact your heart in 10 years. Don't think about how it's going to impact your future. Just trust your heart. Or another one, if you hear frequently, you deserve it. You deserve it. You should get yourself that. You deserve it. You should go there. You deserve it. You should take the day off. You deserve it. If you're hearing that a lot, you might be surrounded by fools. Don't worry about it. You deserve it. You should buy it. Don't think about the debt that comes with it. And when you take that step, you get what you deserve, the debt that comes with it. Are you surrounded by fools? Or are your companions wise? And I'm not saying that these individuals you need to necessarily eliminate the relationship with. Oftentimes, it's just that you need to decrease the time with. You need to change some of the conversations that you have with those individuals. And I see this all the time. All the time. You know where I see this most frequently? I see this at weddings constantly. Constantly. And I'll know the couple and I'll know them pretty well. And then I'll go to the wedding and I walk in. The groom's like, let me introduce you to my groomsman. He starts going around the room and I'm like, you're in trouble, dude. These guys are idiots. They're morons. And if you keep going down the path, this is gonna get real bad real fast. Real bad real fast. And I don't say that without having over and over and over and over again tried to help him pick up the pieces years later. Because the harvest from their life spilled into his. And then all of a sudden he was planting seeds that were destructive and he reaped the harvest himself. If your spouse or your girlfriend is consistently saying, hey, I don't really want to go back and hang out with your high school. If you're hearing that over and over and over again, you should be very careful. If your friends are keep telling you, like, hey, I don't know about so-and-so, you should be nervous. And it's not that you have to step in and say, hey, listen, we're not going to have a relationship anymore. It's just that the relationship is going to change.
And they're not going to be the ones that you call when you're making a decision. And they're not going to be the ones that you are prioritizing the time with. Because it's not that a companion of fools might suffer harm. It's that it will. It will happen. Now, here's where the payout conversation becomes really significant in this. Because many of you, you know it's dangerous to hang out with them. You see it. You see them causing destruction and drama. But sometimes destruction and drama is a little bit exciting. And so you say, well, you know what? I need entertainment in my life. And you stay close to the fool because of the fact that you need entertainment. And sometimes they're a little bit more fun than wise people. And so you take the risk. And here's what you do. You look at it and you say, you know what? I think I can handle it. And yeah, this might pour over into my life, but I think I can handle it. I think I can manage the fool. You ever done that? Almost all of us have done it. I can manage the fool. I'll control the shrapnel in the explosion. How'd that work out for you? At the core of why you made that foolish decision is your understanding. You thought, oh, if I plant this, I get this back, and I can manage that. But if I get that back, and that's what you experienced. You got that back. You're like, whoa. I can't handle that. Who is it that are your companions? Are there people on that list that you need to say, okay, the relationship's got to change? I've been trying to manage the fool. I've allowed them to have too much influence. They're too much a part of my life. And so I can continue to love them, I continue to care about them, but I've got to decrease the amount of time that I'm spending with them. A companion of fools will suffer harm. Who does that need to be? But on the flip side of it, I mean, this is, as I said earlier, incredibly encouraging, but someone who surrounds themselves with wisdom. He who walks with the wise grows wise. Which causes us to ask another question. When I look at the list of companions, are there individuals on there who are wise? Now you say, how do you define wise? And just like we had to define what a fool is, I think it's important for us to be able to define what wisdom is. This is, I think, the best definition that I've found. There's a million definitions out there for what wisdom is, but my favorite is this. Wisdom is the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. Listen to this. The ability to discern, in other words, in a moment, they have the ability to be able to see clearly. They have the ability to be able to decipher what is it that's true in this moment. Because all of us know when you get into a decision, there's all sorts of lies that are wrapped up with truth. So what is it that's actually true? What is it that's right in this moment? What is it that's lasting? What am I talking about with lasting? I'm talking about the payout. What is the actual yield? What is it that lasts in this moment? What's going to be significant, not just in this moment, what's going to be significant beyond this moment? They have, wisdom is the ability to be able to see those things. And then, let me take it a little further. In light of God's character and instruction, in light of God's character and instruction. So in other words, there's all sorts of ways in our life in which God has instructed us. He's taught us, okay, this is what's true. And so in light of what Scripture says, and in light of who God is, because sometimes God hasn't instructed us on everything, but his character, those principles impact decisions. And wisdom is the ability to be able to see, okay, what's right, what's true, what's lasting, in light of what God has told us and in light of who he is. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for. Are there people in my life who do that? Not just people who are smart. There are a lot of people who are really smart and aren't wise. A lot. If you doubt that, all you have to do is go up and hang out at Stevens campus. Phenomenally smart kids. Wisdom. If you're a Stevens student, I'm sorry. I apologize. But it's true. I'm not talking about being smart. And there are a lot of people who have really wise sounding sayings. One of the things that I historically love to do with my staff is that we'll be in the midst of a conversation and they'll share with me an opinion and I'll respond to them. I'll say, how do you back that up with scripture? In other words, I'm not interested in developing a staff that has really good sounding advice. I want to develop individuals who are able to discern what is right and true based on what God has said. And the reality is that even as I'm on stage, your primary concern is not my opinion. Your primary concern is what has God said? And if my opinion is not backed up with what God has said, you should go somewhere else. And so, do they have the ability to be able to see what is true and right and lasting based on who God is and what God has said? We have to define it. Okay, if that's what it is, then when I look at my circle of influence, my companions, are there individuals in there who are wise? Then you have to seek it, because some of you are sitting here and you're very nervous right now because you're looking at your companion list and you're saying, ooh, there's not a lot of wisdom in there. I've been trying to manage a lot of fools. So then you have to not just define it, you have to seek it. This is why, and I love how in his story, that story earlier, he talks about how the shift in his companions shifted his life. And he specifically talked about it as it pertained to dinner groups. This is why, and I know you guys are like, can you talk about dinner groups anymore? I don't know that we could. But here's the thing, you need to be in a dinner group. Why? Because this is how you seek it. You need to be in community in order to seek wisdom. Now, am I telling you that you're going to join a group and everybody in your group is going to be wise? No, there's going to be some fools in there as well. I guarantee it. Why? Because we're going to be in those groups, okay? And this is a journey for us. We're learning, we're growing, all of us. So I'm not promising you that they're all going to be wise. But what I've found is that when you join a group, you can find a couple of them. A couple of them. And I've been able to do this in my own life by being a part of a lot of different groups and a lot of different teams. Because as you're involved in community in that way, all of a sudden you're able to see them, identify them, and pursue them. Build the relationship with them. But if you're not in community with them, you're never going to find them. So you have to intentionally, as he says in his story, you have to lean in. You have to decide, no, I'm going to seek this out. And whether that's connection events, impact teams, dinner groups, all of these we've designed inside of Hope, Hope, and Grace for 16 years to equip you to do this. To do this. But we can't make you do it. We can create the opportunity for it to happen, but we can't make you do it. You have to decide to seek it. To realize, wait, this is really important in life, and the payout is far more significant than I thought. And so I'm going to prioritize it. I'm going to seek it. And then number three, secure it. You need to secure it. And I don't like the way that historically we typically talk about this, because the word that oftentimes people will throw around when we start talking about surround yourself with those who are wise, the word that they love to use is this idea of mentor. I don't like the idea of mentor because historically I feel like it's not necessarily healthy. So here at Hope and Grace, we've always had a younger church and a lot of college students, and a lot of them will come up to me and say, would you be my mentor? And I will look at them and say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because we have this idea of mentor, like I'm going to surround myself with the wise. And what they're asking me to do in that moment is, would you take responsibility for me? Would you take responsibility for shaping me? No, you're responsible for yourself. I'm not interested in being responsible for you. I have enough trouble being responsible for me and my kids, okay? You're responsible for you. I'm not interested in that. And this idea, I'm going to find this. And oftentimes, too, it's this idea, I'm going to find this perfect person, and they know everything about everything, and they're all wise, and they, oh, you're looking for Jesus. Nope, I can teach you how to follow him, and I can teach you how to build a relationship with him, but that's not me, and it's not you. And so I hate this idea of mentorship. And early on here at Hoboken Grace, I received really good advice as it pertains to this. He said, you know, stop thinking about finding a mentor and start really, he talked about in terms of developing a board, but he said, I want for you to think about it in terms of a team of people in your life, not a single person in your life. And so therefore, he said, you should never have anywhere less than five people in your life that you would consider to be wise. And one of the other things that I love that he taught was, he said, when you think about those individuals, you're not finding someone who's wise or strong in every area of life. You're trying to find individuals who are wise or strong in different areas of life. And so I have individuals in my life that I talk with all the time about leading a church and being a pastor and church planning and that side of my life that I never talk to about my personal relationship with Jesus. Because this is really, they're discerning in terms of what's true and right as it pertains to leading a church and church planning. But then I have other people in my life that I look at, man, I want to have a relationship with Jesus like you. And I see like your ability to be able to discern what's right and true is so phenomenal. And so when I'm struggling personally, I call them. I don't call the person who's really wise as it pertains to the church planning. Now, are they also wise in other? Yes, usually they are, but they have strengths and weaknesses. But then to be honest with you, the two individuals that are most significant in those areas in my life don't have kids. So I'm not talking to them about parenting. There's someone else in my life that I say, oh man, I want to be able to impact and raise my kids the way that you have. And so that you're going to be the person that I reach out to and that I'm consulting as it pertains to that decision. And sometimes those are individuals who are close. Sometimes those are relationships that you've built over the years, but you're trying to make sure, okay, my companions, the people who are closest to me, the people who know me best are wise. They're able to discern what is true, right, and lasting in light of who God is. And you have to understand the significance of it, because if you don't understand the significance of it, you won't seek it and you won't do what's necessary to secure it. Because in order to secure it, you're going to have to give it priority. Priority. And to create space and time for it. Another thing that I did when we were first starting Hoboken Grace is that there were several other churches that had been planted in Manhattan in the 10 years before it, and I decided I wanted to be able to meet with each of those church planters. And I was able to do it. I think it was something like 30 different meetings that I was able to have. And I was talking to another church planner about this. And he said, how in the world did you meet with so-and-so? Like, how did you meet with and he couldn't believe that I'd been able to even get the meeting. He said, how was that possible? And I said, well, here's what I did. I called them and I asked them, or I emailed them and asked them, what is your absolute most favorite restaurant in all of Manhattan? And if I buy you lunch at that restaurant, will you allow me to ask you questions for 30 minutes? Every one of them said yes. Every single one of them. But I decided, no, I'm not just going to value this. I'm going to invest in it. I'm going to do what's necessary to secure it. Why? Because this is the payout. There's phenomenal payout to the influencers in your life. And so what do you need to do? to seek it? What do you need to do to secure that? Because he who walks with the wise will grow wise. And there's seasons. It won't necessarily happen right away. But there's a harvest to it. Which direction are you headed? What decisions do you need to make coming out of today for you to be able to experience a harvest of life? And for you to bring a harvest of life to the world around you. Will you pray with me? Father, I'm so grateful for what you've taught us in this and the incredible hope that this brings, that we don't have to wish for this. We don't have to. No, we can engage this journey in such a way in which we're careful with the influence in our lives, and it will impact. There will be a harvest. And Father, I'm so encouraged by that today. And I pray that all of us would be incredibly encouraged by that, and that it would motivate us to say, okay, wait a second, there are some changes that need to happen. And Father, I pray that that would be the reality for everyone in this room, everyone listening online, that they would do what needs to be done for them to experience the harvest that is life, not just so that we can know and experience life, but so that we can bring it into the lives around us, and so that you would be glorified as the truth of your word would be shown to be wisdom beyond our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.